We're reading from Romans chapter 7, and we're reading verses 18 to 25. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord. So the second reading is from 2 Corinthians, and it's from chapter 12, and I'm reading from verses 1 to 10. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again. So this morning I wanted to talk about accepting God's grace in your life as enough. What does it mean that God's grace is enough for your life? Now, despite how much we hear and read about God's grace and God's love in our lives, the wrestle of trying to be good and or good enough is tough, isn't it? And it's real. In Romans, Paul says, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. It's like the catchphrase of my life as well. Keep doing the things I don't want to do. And you probably feel like that as well. You keep failing over and over, no matter how hard you try to be good, you keep doing the things that you don't want to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, like that second reading we just had, Paul talks about this thorn in his flesh. It's like a splinter on your skin that whenever you brush up against it, you know it's there, don't you? And it hurts. And it's a reminder of the struggle that we have in life. The things that we don't want to do, we just keep doing it. Just when you thought you were over it, you got past it, you got better at it, and a few years later, you just do it again. And it's that little splinter that's just rubbing against it. It's like a thorn in your flesh. And Paul is struggling with this thorn in his flesh, and he keeps asking God, he begs God to remove it. And God's answer to him is, my grace is enough for you. My grace is enough. The definition of grace is basically God's favor on us, his unmerited favor. It's not something that we've earned, that we deserve, but it simply comes from the goodness of God's heart. Think of the parable that Jesus taught us about the Pharisee and the tax collector that come to the temple. The tax collector had nothing to offer God at all when he came. Whereas the Pharisee, he comes to the temple and he's standing upright, standing proud. He is righteous within his own sight, at least anyway, and he's able to stand tall before God. He's got nothing really to offer God. But the tax collector comes before God. He actually hides in the shadows. He's down on his knees. He's got nothing to offer God. He knows who he is. He knows his heart. He knows he's a sinner. And his heart is exposed before God. And he's begging God. He's got nothing to offer except receive God's grace. Learning to accept God's grace is a very, very difficult pill to swallow. Because you have to swallow your pride. You've got to admit before God and others as well that you've got nothing to offer. You've got to accept your weakness. Peace with God is best understood by accepting God's grace. If you don't accept God's grace, you might run away from God. You might run away in shame. You might want to hide from God, like Adam and Eve. If you don't accept God's grace, you might walk through life a little bit disillusioned with life. And you might start thinking, why did God create me only to fail? Or you might become like Jonah, who couldn't cope with God's forgiveness and love for the Ninevites. You might become like Peter, who couldn't cope with himself for denying that he knew Jesus. And you might be struggling in your life. You might be going through a challenge at the moment, or that constant battle with something in your life. Maybe temptations, maybe relationship issues. You might be struggling with pride and trying to deal with that in your life, and you just can't break free from it. And life just feels like a battle. And when you come to church or you hang around with your Christian friends, you feel like an imposter. And when things are going hard or difficult in your life, you might feel like God is punishing you because you are that imposter. If you are looking at faith only through a standard that you've got to achieve, a moral level that you've got to constantly be living up to, then life, I'm sorry to say, is only going to offer you disappointments. It's only going to offer you judgment. It's going to offer you punishment. But God is full of love and full of forgiveness, full of grace. As far as the east is from the west. You've got to learn to live in that space of grace, because grace lightens the weight. It lightens that weight of sin in our lives. In Isaiah 53, we learn how God takes that weight off us. It says, "Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But God carried that weight for us. He took our weight, he took our sins upon himself through Jesus Christ our Lord." Just like a parent won't abandon their children because they do wrong, God doesn't abandon us because we fail or we do the wrong thing. He forgives us every day. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 says, "His mercies are new every morning." His mercies are new every morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about a man named Samson this morning. You'll find his story in the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a collection of lots of judges of Israel before the period of the kings. And the judges of Israel were meant to be godly leaders of the people. They would resolve conflicts amongst the people. They were to be guides, moral guides, people of high moral standing within the community, to lead and guide the people and shape the spirituality of the people. They were spiritual leaders of the community. Samson was one of the judges of Israel. Other than these things, Samson was blessed with supernatural strength. Now imagine what that would do to your ego if you were the strongest person in the world. Samson lived nothing like one of the judges of Israel. There's no account of Samson doing anything for his people except being a self-centered man. Eventually, his disobedience led to the loss of his strength. His eyes were gouged out, and he became blind. He became a prisoner and an entertainment for his enemies. Samson only began to turn to God when he was weak and when he was blind. Just like Samson, Paul also understood God's love in weakness and in blindness. Paul turned to Christ when he became blind. But he was opposite. His life was the opposite to Samson. Samson lived a very self-focused life, whereas Paul, he lived a life of obedience to God even before he became a Christian. He lived his life to the letter of the law. And he was one of those radical Jews, if you like. But when he encountered the risen Christ, things changed for Paul. The way he looked at God began to change. The way he understood God began to change. And over time, Paul began to reframe his theology and his understanding of God. And Paul came to the conclusion that God's strength is demonstrated in our weakness. And he began to learn this through the thorn in his flesh as well. This great apostle Paul, this great spiritual leader, preacher and writer, struggled with this thorn in his flesh. And he begged God to remove it. But God said to Paul, "My grace is enough for you. My grace is enough for you. You're going to continue to struggle with this thorn, whatever it is, but my grace is enough for you. And Paul concluded that to keep him from becoming proud, God allowed a demon to torment him. Now, how is that for a gift from God? You want to become a strong person, a strong spiritual person, and God gives you a demon to torment you, to break you down, to press you down, and to make you humble. And God says, my grace is enough for you. And he says to you, my power works best in weakness. And what God is saying is, you need to get out of the way, Paul, and let my power work through you. Paul's prayer is like that tax collector begging God for mercy. The thorn doesn't get removed, but God's grace covers Paul throughout his journey, throughout his ministry. So grace lightens that weight in our lives, that weight of sin that we carry. Are you begging God for a thorn to be removed in your life? How are you feeling today? You might be feeling weak. As you look at your life, you might think you missed the mark with your life, with your career, with your ministry, with your marriage, the way you parent. And maybe you're feeling like Samson today, that you're in chains. And you're thinking, I wish I could have done better with my life. But God is saying to you this morning, I love you. I understand what you're going through. And I am with you. In Luke chapter 22, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's the last night of his life with his disciples. And he's talking to Peter, and he says to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked me to sift you like wheat from the chaff. And all the other disciples are going to be tested as well and sifted. Just like Satan asked God to sift Job. Just like the demon was tormenting Paul. Peter was going to be sifted as well. But Jesus says to Peter, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that you will remain faithful and then you will strengthen others as well. And Peter learned about this just a few hours later, when he denied knowing Jesus. Jesus intercedes for us, intercedes for me and for you as well, to remain faithful to him. Because Jesus himself has been through it as well. Those who understand God's grace in their life will know that God is on their side always. And those who know that never abandon God. No matter how much torment they go through, no matter how much challenges and how many times you fall, you'll never abandon God because you know that God is on your side. Even when God sends a demon to torment you. Those who understand God's grace know that God is always on their side. Because our faith actually matures when our weakness is carried by God's strength. Your faith matures when you allow your weakness, when you allow yourself to be carried by God. Even Jesus himself was driven into the wilderness, tempted by Satan, tormented by him, tested by him, mocked by him, challenged by him. He was tempted in the garden to give up. We're not worth saving. Even Jesus at that point asked God, is there another way to do this? But then Jesus surrendered himself to God's love and to grace. And God said, no, you've got to go through this. You've got to go through this. But my grace is enough for you. I want to share with you the story about this man named Jürgen Moltmann. Some of you may know who he is. Jürgen Moltmann, in his younger days, was a soldier for the German army. During World War II, he was taken prisoner to Scotland. And while he was in prison, Jürgen was shown photos of the Nazi concentration camps and what the Nazis were doing to the Jews and other victims. As he saw these pictures and he saw what the Nazis were doing, shame and guilt and fear began to riddle Jürgen. And he was always a fairly reluctant soldier anyway, but now he was starting to see what he had been a part of and all the evil that was happening, and he was a part of that. And after the war, Jürgen was finally released. While he was in jail, a chaplain came by and gave him a Bible. And he had started reading the Bible, and he found a lot of comfort in reading the Psalms about God's love and about God's grace. And he also identified with the psalmist when they would cry and call out to God when they were feeling abandoned by God. After the war, when he was released, he went to a conference and a Christian conference where there were many Dutch Christians who were sharing their lives and their experiences from the war, and some of them had been to these concentration camps. And as he was sitting there, he was confronted by their stories. He started to feel quite scared because he was a former soldier. He was feeling shame and guilt-ridden. But he said, instead of condemnation, these Christians were offering grace and forgiveness and love. And it was at that point Jürgen started to see God in a different light, in a new light. He came to see God as one looking on to him as a God of love and forgiveness despite what he had done and what he had been a part of. Jürgen Moltmann went on to become one of the most influential writers and theologians of his day. In his book, The Source of Life, he wrote these words. He said, we are waited for as the prodigal son in the parable is waited for by his father. We are accepted and received as a mother takes her children into her arms and comforts them. God is our last hope because we are God's first love. God is our last hope because we are God's first love. I want to say to you this morning as I finish, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for us to experience His love. That's why Paul can say in Romans chapter 8, I am convinced that nothing can remove me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 38 says, and this is Paul's words, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, indeed, nothing in all creation, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do you get to a point in your life where when you can say those words? When you're 100% convinced about it? You'll only get there through understanding your weakness and God's grace continually. Paul got to that stage in his life. And I want to encourage you to remember that you need God's grace in your life more than you need the power to conquer your sins. You need God's grace more in your life than the power to conquer sins. So walk with a lighter load and lighten the load for others by showing the same grace that God shows you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.